Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless. Oh, yeah, we like this song. I sound like a DJ.
At a wedding.
This is a great song. I love it. It's one of the most recognized songs. You guys know what it is, right? Of course you do. It's time to celebrate. Okay, celebrate. And you guys know who it was from? Kool & the Gang. And do you know what year it came out? Oh, you're a little high. It's 80, 1980. It became really familiar when it was used kind of as a theme song when the hostages came out of Iran back in the day. And that was a song that really kind of marked that sort of like, bam, this is victory and it's time to celebrate and all that good business. So it's definitely one of the most recognized songs. We have some things that we're celebrating, and it's not necessarily just because Brianna graduated from high school this week. It's not just because of that, although that is awesome. And it's not just because Tiffany and I celebrated our 27th wedding anniversary on Friday. That is awesome. And there are birthdays and there are other things that we celebrate. But actually, I want to celebrate Jesus in some other things too. I want to celebrate Jesus in Caleb's life. I want to celebrate Jesus in the fact that Caleb, Jesus is walking with you to Denver and going with you into that place where you're going to have some surgery done on your heart. I want to celebrate just what God is doing in Derry's life. And I want to celebrate what God is doing in Timmy's life. I just want to celebrate what God is doing in Scott's life and Rachel's life. Everybody here has a story, and there's something that is unique about your story. Obviously, it's your story, but there's also this dynamic where your story has not only tremendous ups, but it has tremendous downs. I know that some of you, you're in that valley. You're in that place of, where it's tempting to lose heart. It's tempting to lose hope. It's tempting to forget who you are. It's tempting to, just lose sight and to acknowledge or come into agreement with some lies of diminishment about your life and about who you are. And I just want to tell you something, that even in those dark places, you can celebrate some things. And so I just want to go there today. I want to talk a little bit about that. And so last week, some of you, who was here last week when Ben was talking? Okay, awesome. I'm glad you were here. You guys saw the slides, right? Hey, you guys, I love it that you're talking. I am so easily distracted that I just really want to get in on your conversation. So it's either going to be here or there. I don't know which one. So you guys are welcome to keep it going, but maybe not right here because I'm so easily distracted. I just want you to know that when Ben was sharing some things about the difference between being a refugee and being an ambassador, that's huge, isn't it? I mean, what a contrast. You're in a foreign land. The reasons why you're in that foreign land are vastly different depending on whether you're a refugee or whether you're an ambassador. A refugee, as you guys were talking last week, is often one who's displaced. It's either through conflict or famine or some distress, some disaster has beset you or your family, and you might even be separated from your family in that place, and you find yourself in a foreign land, and you're completely at the mercy of those who would show benevolence to you, care for you in those ways. And a lot of times, you don't have resources. You don't have money. You don't have places to go. That's why you're perhaps in a camp. You're in this, this hunker down and get through this mode, which could last for years. Contrast that with the ambassador, who is sent from their home country, from their home government, and they are there with a different purpose. It's not just to survive. Their purpose is to actually represent the nation that they come from. Their purpose is to be part of the peacekeeping function of friendship building and relationship building. Their work is a work of reconciliation and restoration and building people up and establishing bridges. And the resources that an ambassador has is coming directly from the nation that has sent them. And so they have a certain freedom and a certain margin. The lid is kind of taken off when it comes to what their mind is thinking about and what their heart is dwelling on. It's not just to survive. It's actually to function according to the assignment that they've been given as an ambassador. Does that pretty much sum it up? Yeah, that's what it says. That sums it up. And I just think that's a beautiful picture of who we are as the people of God. And the fact that we live in this world, we live in this city, this region, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have been sent as ambassadors. We are not refugees. We have been sent as ambassadors, and we're actually called to invest in the place that we've been given assignment to influence. We've actually been called to invest our lives, our resources, our energies, our, you know, just the imaginations of our ingenuity, whatever it is, our creativity, that those are all investments in the place that God has placed us. And I think, you know, in terms of what the Bible refers to, if you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. This definitely sums it up for us. I appreciate those who responded to the memo that we start at 10 o'clock now. For those of you who didn't get that memo, welcome. Glad you're here. 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to go ahead and read this out of the message because it has some wording here that I really like, and it'll tie in a little bit with what was going on just a minute ago. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for a high calling of priestly work, chosen as a holy nation or a holy people. You're God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him and to tell others of the night and day difference God has made for you. That's what ambassadors do. They represent and they reflect what the King of Kings has done for you, right? He has made a difference in your life. And so it's one of those things where you're not just going to speak it out. You're not just going to go around and have this agenda to try to convince everybody that they need to live your story. It goes on to say this, that you, the night and day difference God made for you from nothing into something, from the rejected into the accepted. I mean, how many people do you know on this planet are absolutely starving to know that they are something? They just crave that. They have such a desire and such a need for that sense of significance in their life, that sense of purpose in their life. I mean, how many people suffer under the weight of rejection? I mean, it seems like when that comes on people, it doesn't matter what anyone says, it gets warped and converted into this rejection thing. And it's like, man, how amazing is this story where we can tell people that there is a God who loves them, who calls them and wants to bring them into a place of being something, of having purpose and not being rejected, of being absolutely accepted. And so this is what it goes on to say. It says, friends, this world is not your home. Okay, so there it is. So don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. In other words, don't try to gain your sense of self-worth and your satisfaction in life from this world, since you're not of this world. The things that this world offers is only going to leave you vacant. What he goes on to say here is that we're to live exemplary lives among the natives. I love how it puts it that way, you know? So it can really put us into that place of ambassadorship. The people who are native to the land that we are visiting, that we have been given assignment to be ambassadors in, that we're to live a life among these people so that your actions will refute their prejudices. It's one thing to have words. It's another thing to have a lifestyle and to have a life that is exemplary in the way that it not only causes people to second guess the prejudice that they have because a lot of people do have prejudices. I mean, if you use the word Christian to 10 people, you're going to get 10 different definitions of what that means. So everybody has kind of a prejudice of what that might mean to be a follower of Jesus. And wouldn't it be awesome as if your life were to reflect your place in the Father's heart as a son or a daughter that would just kind of tweak their prejudices and give them pause to be like, huh, that's awesome. They live out of a sense of purpose. They don't worry about the same things I worry about. They have an assurance. How is it that they can rest when me and all of the people around my world are striving, striving, striving? It says this, that then they'll be won over to God, and they will join in the celebration of his arrival. Not only the celebration of his arrival, if we were to imagine an eschatology where he would be coming back for us, but his arrival into their life. They would join in the celebration, hence the song, "It's Time to Celebrate." Because one of the things that that I wanted to do is that, you know, I love the idea that you and I as an ambassador, we can set a tone. We can set a tone for our city. We can set a tone for where we live. This can get real practical for us. And if you think about ambassadors having an assignment to invest in the place that they're in, and that their lives and their words can refute the prejudices, and people's hearts can be drawn into a relationship with God, and they can join in the celebration, then let me just say this, that I see celebrating as an investment. If you think about it, I mean, there's this whole idea about you reap what you sow, and it rings true here. So let's talk a few minutes about the importance of celebration. And the first question that I want to ask is, what are we celebrating? I mean, when we celebrated Brianna and her friends, we weren't just celebrating their accomplishments. I mean, there's a compartment in our culture that would celebrate accomplishments, and there's room for that. That's fine. But we were celebrating the person. We're celebrating you, Brianna. We're celebrating who you are. We're celebrating just the story that God has and that he's walking with you, and it's an amazing story, and so we're celebrating that. We're celebrating the fact that you've said yes to God and that you love him and that, you know, you're working things out, but he's there, and you're there with him, and it's awesome. It's amazing. And so we honor people. And as God's people, we're celebrating who Jesus is. Like, we celebrate who Jesus is in your life. We celebrate who Jesus is in the city. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is pursuing our hearts, that he's redeeming our past, that he's healing our wounds, and that he's calling us into this new life that he's given to us. We're celebrating the fact that he's equipping us with his word and that he's empowering us by his spirit. He's bringing us into family and he's giving us a purpose, and we're celebrating all of that. He's making something out of our lives. And he's turning all things for good, even the very, very hard things of life. That's the point where we get to choose to celebrate or not. You see, the Bible tells us to think on these things, to think on the eternal and not on the temporal things. I find myself slipping back and forth. And so I've used kind of a barometer test for just how I'm thinking and some of my language, my self-talk, to kind of give me a clue as to whether or not I'm thinking mostly of the eternal realities of what I've just described here, or if I'm thinking about the temporal facts, you know, that are right in front of me that are like, oh my gosh, you know, this is hard and this is difficult, or whatever it is. And so one of the ways that I've kind of determined whether I'm thinking about the temporal or not is if I'm like saying things like, God is good, but this, that, and the other terrible thing is happening. So it kind of like, what's coming after the but? is really the point. Because if I'm really thinking about the eternal things, if I'm thinking about the eternal reality of what God is doing, the larger picture, the kingdom of God in and through my life, then I'm saying things like, this, that, and the other thing is hard, but God is good. God is faithful. God is with me. God is going to turn this thing for good. And so that's a really important barometer test for me, because I can slip back and forth pretty easily. You know, we celebrate because he provides for us and he causes our souls to prosper. And it's not only celebrating, you know, these things that he's doing in our own personal lives, but we also are celebrating the fact that he's doing all of this in the lives of the people that you call your neighbor. Can you wrap your head around that? Pull yourself out a little bit of your own story and imagine that the very things that you are encouraged about, God is doing and wanting to do in increasing measure with the people that are in your city, that are in your region here. And so we celebrate with the city because God is for the city. And that's why one of the things that I really want to do is I want to call us into a time this summer, anytime the city is hosting an event, whether that's the farmer's market, whether some group is doing Movie Above the Clouds down there at the pavilion between the library and the cultural center, or we have the 4th of July celebration, or the 5th of July symphony in the park, or the art fair, or the this, that, or the other thing, anytime there is a collection of people that are gathering together in this city, I just want to call us to go and join in. Without an agenda, I want our lives to begin reflecting just the hope that we have in the celebration, and I want us to be celebrating. I want us to go into those places making the choice to celebrate what God is doing in the city. You see, if we're not careful, and this is very strategic, I believe God has really given me this at an important time, even this week, because we know what went down in the city this week, right? We know that the mayor got busted, and he's alleged of doing all sorts of things that, you know, are just horrendous. And so here we are as people of the city, God's people, a holy nation, and we have a choice to make about how we're going to step into that and set a tone in this city. I'm not saying we turn a blind eye to the facts at hand. I am saying that we keep our eyes fixed on the thing that's eternal. And the thing that's eternal is that God is for the city. And God has been speaking to people about this city and about this region since the first man who was ever listening heard. Whether they were on foot or on horseback, it doesn't matter. There were people who have been hearing from God about this region and what God has in his heart for this place since the first inhabitant. I'm fully convinced of that. And one of the things that I want to do as just a person of influence in this city is I want to call us into a place of praying into the affirmative and saying, no, this is what God is saying for the city. God is for the city. God wants the people of this city, he wants their souls to be prosperous. He wants everything about their life to be made right. He wants people who love righteousness and who are going to experience joy and choose to celebrate in the face of adversity. And so, you know, celebration isn't just about getting the right playlist put together, right? Doesn't hurt. It's not about drumming up your emotions. Celebration, true celebration, is a condition of the heart. And there are days when you just don't feel like celebrating in the place of your emotions. There are days when you just rather kind of hang out in some depression or some self-pity. And I'm not suggesting that we live fake lives. I mean, if you've got some significant issues that you're working through and you feel hopelessness, then celebrate the fact that you're not alone and you've got people that would be willing to come into your story with you. And go there and discover the real reasons to be celebrating right now. A life of celebration is a life of remembering who you are and choosing to act like it. Let me say that again. A life of celebration is a life of remembering who you are and choosing to act like it. As kingdom people, you and I have the living spirit of Christ living in and through us. And if you take the scripture as your baseline and not your circumstances, then this way, as an ambassador, you choose to live according to your true citizenship, the citizenship of your country of origin, which is the kingdom of God. And there's scriptures that, you know, that help us out. And this is what the scripture does for us. It reminds us of who we are and from whence we came and where we're headed, you know. And so it's really an amazing thing. And so when you take a look at scripture and you say, wait a minute, there's an incongruency between how I'm feeling and what the Bible is saying to me, then I would say, come into agreement with the truth, renew your mind to what scripture is saying, and watch what starts to happen in your life. Because, and we're going to get real practical here. Galatians 5 refers to all of these things about you. You know, yes, you're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You and I have the characteristics of Christ that are fully laid out in Scripture. It starts to get real practical. It starts to get real specific when Galatians 5 refers to them as the byproduct or the fruit of being a kingdom person. Then you start to understand that you are love. You are peace. You are patience, you are kindness. But what is the second one? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, long-suffering. All of these things are in you. They are the attributes of who you are because you're a new creation in Christ. And so, isn't it amazing to think in terms of joy as being an attribute of who you are? I mean, joy and celebration, it's a natural bridge, right? I mean, it's one and the same, really. And so when I think about this, I'm thinking in terms of what God makes very clear in Romans 14, 17, when he says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the investment we make is in choosing to live joyful lives. And this is how we express our celebration. Truth is, like I said, joy is more than an emotion. It's really a condition of the heart. Just as peace is a condition of the heart, and just as living a righteous life is a condition of the heart. And so, in fact, Hebrews 1:9 makes it really fun point here when it says that Jesus loved righteousness and the way of the kingdom so much that God anointed him with the oil of joy. So there is this dynamic when we love, when we come into agreement with the kingdom way, then joy just starts to overflow into our lives. You have to make the choice to come into agreement with the kingdom way. You have to make the choice of loving God's way. And when you choose to love God's way and you choose to love righteousness, then as Christ did, experienced the oil of joy and gladness poured out into his life more than all of his companions. So I want to talk about something that would, how did Peter put it, that we would live our lives among the natives so that your actions would refute their prejudices. So let's just get down to some nitty-gritty, okay? The gladness and the joy piece here, that's a contradiction to what most prejudiced people say about Christians, that we're not very happy, that we're not very joyful, that we're actually very judgmental, that we're actually, you know, very critical, and that we're diminishing, and all of these things where celebration and joy is the opposite of that. And so that's one of the things that I want to just point out is that joy is actually an instigator. Joy is actually an instigator. It's not the result. Joy is the seed that we can sow into the city. Joy has substance. Joy is a choice that we get to live in, and we get to influence the people around us when we choose to live in joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and there's joy that is unspeakable. There's a joy that you can experience that actually has no words attached to it. You can't even put it words to it. You can't describe it. It's unspeakable, and it's full of glory. There is a joy that can be set before us, even in the face of the most horrific trial and tribulation, just as Jesus set the joy before him so that he could endure the cross. This is what I'm saying. Listen, I'm not just pep-talking you guys. I'm saying there is a reality here that joy has substance and you get to choose it. So let's get down to it. Let's look at some real practical ways here and give some thoughts to how we can come into agreement with and nurture a joyful life. And I'll just put it in some real basic terms here at first. And some of this stuff is going to seem very rudimentary, like, oh yeah, we all know this. Okay, we know it. Like, we all know that we should get plenty of sleep and eat healthy food and exercise. But do you know how that connects with the level of joy that you experience in your life? Because what is the opposite of not eating well and not sleeping well and not getting exercise? It's depression. So we can get real practical here with this. And one of the ways that we can choose to live in a lifestyle of joy and celebration is by taking care of our physical bodies. And the other thing that we can do is we can really choose to nurture healthy relationships. There is a culture of complaining and gossip all around us, right? And it may seem normal to the world, but you can choose to have companions and be a companion to people who build others up, you know, instead of diminishing them. So there are healthy relationships that you get to choose whether you're going to not just invest in, but be around. I mean, there are friendships that can be quite toxic. And unfortunately, there are times in our life when we have to make the choice about what we're going to nurture in the way of our relationships and what we really want. And so that would be another way that we can nurture joy in our life. So ruling our soul and letting our mouth reflect what the heart is celebrating, this is really important. And so one of the things that we can do is we can choose to nurture our spirits. So we're going to nurture our bodies. We're going to nurture our relationships. We're going to nurture our spirits. We could add in there, we can nurture our souls. I mean, nurturing your soul would be like reading good books and learning new things and discovering and being willing to take some risk and have some adventure and experience some newness in life. That nourishes your soul. But it doesn't end there. Nourishing your spirit, this spirit that has been united with the Spirit of Christ. When we let the words of Christ dwell richly in our hearts, and we let the assurance of who God is, and we begin to release our anxieties in the place of prayer, we would worry less about money. We would worry less about our health and about these things that trouble us. And we would begin to consider the eternal perspective and step towards the miraculous work of Christ to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring provision. Then that starts to nurture our spirits in a way that we begin to prosper in the place of our soul. In fact, it would probably go so far as to let this assurance awaken new generosities. Because how many of you know that when you give, it releases this dopamine in your brain that's a feel-good? I mean, there's an actual joy that comes from doing things for others. But when we're so refugee-minded and we don't have the assurance of the governing body that has sent us and has given us an assignment for this city and this region, then we kick into that mode and we're not investing a whole lot, are we? In fact, we might even borderline hoard for the sake of building our own sense of assurance. And so I want to just ask Joe to throw up this slide here. Because if celebration is the investment, then what can we imagine is the outcome of being a people who are not afraid to celebrate with the people of the city? Now, I know that's really hard to read. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, did I just step into like the eye doctor and I have to read from afar? Okay, the little squiggly lines. So I'll interpret what I wrote up there, because that's actually a picture of a sticky note that I put together. I was too lazy to put a nice PowerPoint slide up for you guys. I mean, modern technology is awesome. Just take a picture with your phone, email it to your computer, and there you go. The fathers of this city, they have it in their heart to make Woodland Park a destination city, which is awesome. That aspiration is great. I just saw the list, though, of the top 25 towns in Colorado that are not resort towns. We didn't make the list. Duh! So there are things that, you know, the city wants to do. Now, I have it in my mind that there's probably going to be a few ways that people approach this. Obviously, in order for us to build sort of a destination city, there has to be like a reason to come, right? I mean, obviously. And so one of the things that people of the world would naturally kick into this mode, well, let's provide opportunities, because we want this to be a sustainable thing, let's provide opportunity for people to spend their money. I mean, would you call Castle Rock a destination city? No, but a lot of people go there. Why? Because of the outlet malls and all that kind of stuff, right? So there is a certain facade that that can be created, and I would just say that when you look at the outside circle, I put consumerism facade, all right? And depending on which city, that can be a really thin or a really thick facade, okay? Castle Rock, for an example, has a pretty thick consumerism facade. However, I do know, and the next line over on the upper right says relational bridge, where the squiggly lines are. I guess the squiggly lines make sense because relationships ebb and flow. There can be friction there. And there's a relational bridge, however, that can take us into a deeper place. Because I believe that what makes a city a real destination city is when the attraction is stuff that God made, not man-made. So if you think about natural features or natural beauty, yeah, we've got an element of that. We could certainly work on building new trails all around the city so people can enjoy it a little bit more. But there is an element of that. But, you know, we have our limitations. We don't have a river running through it. Things like that. And so when I really think about it, when I really think about who are we as a people who can set a tone in the city and celebrate what God wants to do here amongst not only his people of the church, but the people who he is calling, who will be coming in. Bottom down here, bottom left, says the only viable God-made attraction are people. The only viable God-made attraction. Now, there can be layers of this. Sure, we can have the I love going to the boutique restaurant. I love sitting out at the, you know, on the porch of the pub and hanging out with some friends. And I love good art. And I love all that stuff. And that's great. But one of the things I really like about those places is that it's an invitation for us to gather. What I really love about the celebrations in the city, the festivals that are going to be happening, even next week when we have our grubby day and we all come together and we spruce the place up, which remember, that starts at 10 o'clock with a potluck brunch next week. And then we're just going to put our gloves on and we're going to do a lot of yard work and get the pine needles out of the gutters and all that kind of stuff and spruce the place up. We do this every year, but one of the fun things about it is Catherine Sneckner, who is the executive director of Choices, the Crisis Pregnancy Center, and Tony Perry, who is the president of Park State Bank, they're getting married in June 21st, here in this building. And so it's fun to think, oh, we're going to spruce the place up because there are going to be people from the city that are going to be coming into our house, and it'll be fun. Just to give them that sense that they're welcomed. So one of the things that I really am considering then is if the only viable God-made attraction are people, then we should be, I mean, not to sound boastful at all, but honestly, if we're ambassadors from the kingdom of God, we should be attractive. I mean, we should be able to refute the prejudices. We should be able to live a life that's willing to celebrate what God is doing, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the city. And that's the point, really. It's a choice that we get to make. Nurture joy. I know it. I know that some of you are in some extremely challenging situations. I'm calling each one of you to receive the grace of God, the empowerment of His Holy Spirit, to become overcomers in those situations. Do not succumb. Do not succumb to the fear. Do not succumb to the shame. Do not succumb to the diminishment. Don't listen to the old tapes that have tried to define you for years. Listen to the truth of God's Scripture. And He is for you. He is not against you. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. More than conquerors. I mean, it's one thing to be a conqueror and be like, whew, we made that one. Something else to be more than a conqueror. So it challenges that refugee mentality, doesn't it? And it brings us into a place of encouraging our hearts to make an investment. The investment is for you personally. The investment is for the family that you have and your friends. And the investment is to live a lifestyle of joy that chooses to celebrate. Does that sound right? Good. Well, listen, I want everyone to stand because I'm not going to point you out. Because we're all in the same boat. Some of you have what seem like huge giants in front of you. We're just going to join with you. If you feel like you're in a grace-filled season, then awesome. Pray for those who are in this room who are not feeling that. And let's just receive right now the oil of gladness. We choose to love your ways, God. We choose to love righteousness. We choose to love your kingdom. We say yes to you. We say yes that you are the king, that you have it in your heart to love us and to equip us and to call us into great things in your kingdom. And we know that there are elements of suffering that go with that. You've actually promised that that's going to happen. And in light of all of that, in light of the hardships and the humanity that we live, Lord, you have chosen to establish joy in our lives. You've chosen to give us the answer and the remedy to our depression and our self-pity and our diminishment. And it comes from remembering who you are and who we are in you and what you've called us to and where we're headed. As clueless as we feel most of the time about that one, we say that we trust you. And we have reason to celebrate because you've not failed us yet. And if we feel like you have at some point in our life, then take us back to that place and show us from a different vantage point what was really going on. Help us make sense of that time. And I pray, God, that joy would pour out now by your Spirit into each person here, into their families, that the oil of gladness would flow into their lives, through their lives. I pray, God, that even in the face of difficulty, we would find ourselves laughing and experiencing joy. And I pray, Lord God, that this would give us strength. We thank you so much for your grace to do this for us. We bless you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.